Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Realms of Mist and Ash, Fey Witch Chronicles, Book 2, by J.S. Malcolm. Narrated by Rachel DeLude. Chapter 1. In my mind, I see Grayson burst into a cloud of fluttering black moths, rising again toward the moon. I see Julia's eyes flicker silvery gray, and the curl of a stranger's smile upon her lips. As they have for days now, these same scenes keep playing over and over again. I shake my head and tell myself to snap out of it. I'm around my friends, and there's a reason I came here tonight. I need this break. I need to clear my mind to keep from going insane. I force myself to focus on Anna as she draws a black card from the stack. She reads it, and then pauses for dramatic effect. Oh, this is good. Lisette narrows her eyes. Come on, read the card. Of the six of us, she's scoring lowest in our round of cards against humanity, and she's getting testy. There's something I never would have imagined, Lisette being the competitive one. She's usually as placid as they come. Anna shows us the card. How did I lose my virginity? Despite everything, I can't help but smile. Thank God it's a card game or I'd be squirming in my seat. I've gotten to know my fellow witches pretty well over the past couple of weeks, but there are definitely some things I haven't yet explained. For example, that I spent my teenage years sharing someone else's body. I glance at my cards, then place one face down on the table. I wait as the others do the same. Anna collects the cards and reads the question again. How did I lose my virginity? Let's see. She reads one of our offered cards. A tribe of warrior women. She reads another card. Former President George W. Bush. Then another, which causes her to snort. Centaurs. She reads the next card. Teaching a robot to love. She holds just one card now, which just so happens to be mine. Not wearing pants. Everyone bursts out laughing. Straight and to the point, Jerome says. Not to mention a requirement, Bobby says. I don't know, Wendy says. I guess that would depend on how you define wearing pants. She has a point, definitely. That was a close round, Anna says. I have to hand it to whoever played the Centaur's card. That was me, Jerome says. Of course, Bobby says, shooting him a look. Jerome arches his eyebrows. Hey, I have never once ogled a horseman in your presence. Bobby stares back at him deadpan. Please tell me you're not ogling horsemen while not in my presence. What about George W. Bush? Wendy says. Clearly your card, then, Anna says. Sorry. By the way, the visuals are cringeworthy. She does a little drum roll on the table with her forefingers. And the winner is... Not wearing pants. I smile at my win, but it isn't really heartfelt. Trying to distract myself isn't going to work. In 3 days, the last hour has been the only one during which I haven't felt tormented, frustrated, and helpless. I've barely slept since discovering that Julia is now among the missing, one more person who physically appears to remain among us, while her essence, the part making her what she actually is, has been somehow replaced. Whether it's the one who called himself Grayson now looking out through her eyes or some other creature, I can't say. Nor do I have the first idea what to do other than to keep looking for a way back to that other realm. So far, all efforts have failed. Either way, an hour appears to be all I can manage for fooling myself. I need to get moving, even if that means having no idea of where to go. I straighten my cards and push them toward center of kitchen table. Guys, I'm sorry, but I think I'm good for tonight. My announcement is met with groans of disappointment. After all, we pretty much just got started. Actually, me too, Wendy says. In fact, I just imagined one of you saying that. Feel like doing something else? Leave it to Wendy to both mistake my meaning and think she somehow manifested my mood shift. Bless her pronoia-addled heart. I try again. Actually, I was thinking I might... Oh, I know, Jerome says. We could try that spell I found last week. Bobby's eyes light up. Oh, right! The reverse medium spell, we've been dying to try it. Jerome nods while taking a sip of his beer. It's supposed to work better if there's at least four people. Lisette perches forward. What on earth is a reverse medium spell? A bit of southern drawl sounds in her voice as she uses the old-fashioned phrase. I almost expect her to add an, I do declare, but Jerome continues. Just what it sounds like, he says. You use it to call a reverse medium. Lisette lifts an eyebrow, letting him know he's pushing his luck with a girl who was just losing at cards. By which I mean a medium who channels the living to the dead, Jerome explains. That's a thing? As a Veil Witch, I can't help being interested, even if part of me doesn't want to be. Jerome grins. I guess so. According to what I read, it's more effective if someone on the other side is concerned about someone here. Hence the recommendation that you try it with a few people present. Apparently that increases your likelihood of success.
Sounds kind of necro, Anna says, giving me a cautious glance.
As an elemental witch, Anna is more comfortable keeping her magic firmly grounded in the earth. At the same time, she's always careful not to offend those more naturally attuned to the necromantic arts. Veil witches and necromancers are not the same thing, but we often wander the same territories.
Sounds like fun, Wendy says. What do we have to do?
Only in a room full of witches would someone describe digging up a dead psychic as fun.
It sounded easy.
Jerome gets up and lifts his jacket from where he left it hanging on the back of his chair. He digs through the pockets. Remember the City Coven fundraiser last week? Anna snorts.
You mean the garage sale?
Hey, it was a collective charity event, Wendy says. All proceeds went to support the homeless shelter.
As in a big garage sale, Anna says. With good intentions, I'll give you that. Anyway, what about it?
Jerome produces a plastic bag from his jacket pocket. The stuff within it is all jumbled together, but I think I spot a necklace, a golf ball, an old iPod, and a yo-yo. Lisette stares at the bag, too. There's a spell requiring an old yo-yo. Jerome spills the items out onto the table.
Technically, no. I bought this stuff just before I came across the reverse medium spell.
Bobby scrutinizes the pile of junk.
Why did you buy an old iPod?
Jerome gives him a mock scowl.
Hey, that's vintage tech right there, plus it's in perfect shape.
Anna coughs the word hoarder under her breath. Jerome pretends to ignore her.
Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, right. So, the reverse medium spell says it's best to have at least four people present. It also says that if you don't have a particular dead psychic in mind, it's worth trying an assortment of items belonging to dead people.
He gestures to the pile of junk.
I'm just assuming that at least some of the stuff being sold at the, collective charity event, aka garage sale, probably once belonged to people no longer residing in this realm. I could be wrong, of course, but people tend to donate stuff like that.
I suspect you're way off course with the iPod, Bobby says.
Jerome holds it up.
Look again, barely used, right?
Bobby frowns.
So? Think about it. Who doesn't use an iPod? Maybe someone's grandmother who got it as a gift?
Bobby lifts his eyebrows.
Good point.
I plant my elbows on the table.
But wait, if I understand correctly, wouldn't at least one of those items have to belong to a dead psychic?
Jerome grins.
You seem to forget the event was sponsored by your very own employer.
By which he means my part-time employer, Grimoire, since I haven't yet told them about my supernatural cleaning business, and he definitely has a point. What's going to attract more psychics than a New Age bookstore?
Okay, so let's do this.
Jerome says. Wendy bounces in her seat.
I claim the necklace.
Actually, the necklace is pretty cool. Costume jewelry, obviously, but nice, with three strands of faux black pearls mixed with gold and champagne accent beads.
No one gets to claim anything,
Jerome says. Wendy's face falls.
This time, it's Lisette who coughs hoarder under her breath. Finally, Jerome bursts out laughing.
Guys, come on, try to focus. Now, what we do is join hands and concentrate our energy on the artifacts.
Artifacts? Anna says. Meaning junk, Lisette says.
Is there an incantation?
Wendy says. I love incantations.
Jerome turns to her. Thank you, Wendy. There is an incantation, a very cool one, in fact. Ready?
We all wait, saying nothing. Jerome sighs.
Join hands.
Oh, my God, Anna says. Seriously?
Do you want to meet a dead psychic or what?
Jerome says.
If I have to, Anna mutters.
I do,
Wendy says.
Do we close our eyes?
Jerome withdraws a crumpled piece of paper from his pocket and gives it a quick scan.
It doesn't say. I guess that's up to you.
Everybody close their eyes,
Wendy says. Lisette sighs dramatically.
Okay, everyone close their eyes while I read the incantation,
Jerome says.
Remember to concentrate on the objects, whatever.
How can I concentrate on the objects with my eyes closed?
Anna says.
Try picturing them inside your mind,
Jerome says.
Is that so hard?
Okay, fine, Anna says. No reason to get snarky. Jerome blinks at least 5 times. He speaks slowly and deliberately.
Close your eyes and concentrate.
Shit, I'll be freaking dead if this takes much longer. Are we good? Finally, we close our eyes and wait as Jerome recites the incantation.
Once flesh and blood, now spirit guide. Who eases burdens on the other side? We call upon you as what we call ghost.
The paper rustles and Jerome adds,
I guess we're supposed to all say, please accept us as your hosts. At least that's what it says here.
Should we open our eyes?
Wendy says. A moment passes as Jerome considers.
I guess after... Now say it.
As a group, we all say, please accept us as your hosts. It's actually a little creepy. What's even creepier is the soft voice we hear next, as if she too has her eyes closed.
I feel someone with us now. No, it's more than one person. I think it's a group of people.
We open our eyes and look around the room. Wendy says what we're all thinking.
Where's that coming from?
It's a good question, since the voice seems to be disembodied. The woman speaks again.
I hear the letter J, she says. Does that mean anything to anyone present?
A man says,
I have a grandson named James. Is it James?
A pause follows, and then the woman says,
I don't think it's James. I'm hearing something more like Jeremy. Wait,
Jerome. Yes, I think it's Jerome.
Look.
Anna points to the window. Naturally, no one thought to look there. First of all, it's night. Also, why would anyone be in the tiny yard behind the apartment building? Now we do, to see a woman peering in at us. She looks good for a ghost, slightly chubby with chin-length dark hair and a healthy glow to her skin. Behind her stands a group of people, both men and women of varying ages, all of them also trying to peer in at us.
Can they see us?
Bobby asks. The woman out front cocks her head in response.
They can definitely hear us, Anna says. At least she can.
After a few moments, the woman floats into the room to stand a few feet from the table.
Yes, I feel them strongly now, she says.
Very strongly, in fact. I have to say it's quite remarkable. Now, was anyone reaching out to someone named Jerome?
Those framed in the window shake their heads. One woman says,
I don't know anyone named Jerome.
We volley confused glances around the table. Anna whispers,
What's she doing?
Jerome glances at the spell again.
She might still be phasing. It says here that could take a minute or two.
I keep my eyes on the ghost and ask,
What's phasing?
Well, she didn't intend to come here,
Jerome says. We sort of hijacked her signal and reeled her in. According to the notes, her perceptions should adjust shortly. As if on cue, The dead psychic takes a sudden breath.
Oh! There's something else here, too. Something forceful. Human. But also more, somehow.
All of us swivel our heads, trying to figure out who she means. Or what. The people in the window murmur in concerned tones.
What are you?
I turn to see the psychic's eyes boring into mine. If I was to guess, I'd say she definitely phased.
Hi, I'm Cassie.
I offer a little wave and add, and I'm a who, not a what. The psychic shakes her head as if snapping out of a stupor. She looks around the table, taking us in, before returning her focus to me.
Yes, I see you now. I see all of you. But there's something else. I'm not quite sure what to call it, but it seems to be coming from you.
I shrug, guessing it must be the Veil Witch thing she's picked up on.
I have that effect on people,
I say. Just try to ignore it. By people, I really mean ghosts. My connection with the Veil often hits them on a gut level, but I'm not sure how she'll like being called a ghost. Jerome tries to break the moment of social discomfort.
I'm Jerome, he says, and these are my friends.
Hi,
we all say, along with a smattering of how's it going and what's up. The psychic ghost collects herself.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be rude. I'm Gloria.
Hi, Gloria, we all say. This is starting to sound more like an AA meeting than a magic session, but okay.
Please forgive me if I'm wrong, Gloria says. But I don't quite get the feeling that any of you are connected to any of us.
She gestures to where her friends are still gaping through the window, or at least trying to.
Probably not, Jerome admits.
Gloria's attention shifts to the items on the table.
Is that my necklace?
Jerome glances down sheepishly.
It might be.
Gloria frowns.
What's going on here? Where did you get my necklace?
Jerome's face turns red, and I can guess why.
Well, I bought it at a charity event. Someone donated it.
He tries to keep things moving to avoid more possible awkwardness.
Oh, and we're witches. We used your necklace to try a reverse medium spell.
Witches?
Gloria says.
Actual witches?
Right, the kind that use magic,
Jerome says. I don't know if he intended it as a ploy, but the change in subject seems to have worked, since they've moved past discussing how Gloria's personal belongings ended up at a parking lot fundraiser. Gloria asks,
What's a reverse medium spell?
It's supposed to attract mediums that are, well, on the other side,
Jerome says.
It appears to have worked, I mean, assuming you're an actual medium and not a, well, medium who can't actually medium.
Yes, his face is beet red now, although somewhat deservedly.
A medium who can't medium, seriously?
All the same, Gloria appears to take his meaning in stride.
I'm an actual medium, she says.
So, yes, your spell appears to work. How can I help you?
Jerome fidgets nervously.
Oh my God, this is killing me.
Typical, Jerome and Bobby to mess with magic for no good reason. They're like big toddlers who can bend the laws of physics. Thankfully, Wendy comes to Jerome's rescue.
We were curious to know how it works. Why would people on the other side need a medium? Can't you just, like, come here and look around? I always thought you guys could do that.
Gloria shakes her head.
I'm afraid it's not that simple, dear. You're confusing earthbound spirits with those waiting in between. Add to that, there are multiple dimensions where we now reside, some interacting and others not. From your perspective, that must sound terribly complicated, but it feels quite natural here.
I don't get it,
Lisette says.
Why would dead people, I'm sorry, people in the in-between, need a psychic?
Gloria shrugs.
For the same reason they do in your realm. For guidance, to help them make decisions, and sometimes because they're worried about those they left behind. Believe me, it's not like we've forgotten how difficult life can be.
Gloria's comment has the same effect on all of us, since we all mull that one over for a moment. Jerome is the first to speak up, probably because he feels obligated, which he should.
Thank you for coming, Gloria. Like Wendy said, we were just curious. I hope we didn't cause you or...
He gestures to where her companions remain milling about in the backyard.
Your friends, any inconvenience?
None at all, Gloria says.
This has been interesting. One thing I've learned over the years is that things that might seem completely random often aren't at all. For example, you felt the need to perform a reverse medium spell. What if there's a reason for that?
Anna perches forward.
Like Jerome said, we were just...
Gloria nods.
Oh, I heard your friend, and I'm sure you thought you were just curious. But what if the timing involved more than mere curiosity? Because I keep picking up on something here.
Oh, shit. Slowly, Gloria starts looking around the table again. But I have a pretty good idea where her attention is going to land.
And the feeling I keep getting, Gloria says, is different from anything I've picked up on before, here, or in your physical realm. One of you is different. Very different.
Yep, here it comes. Gloria finishes her round of psychic inspection and, sure enough, locks her eyes on mine again.
And, as I said before, there are realms you know about and others you don't.
There's a reason for that. A very good reason. Because there are some places that humans, or even those, I dare say, who are more than human, should be very careful about visiting. You have to be careful where you go.
Very, very careful.
As she finishes speaking, it's more than clear that Gloria is talking to me and to me alone. Chapter 2. Not surprisingly, a silence follows Gloria's departure as all eyes remain glued to me. In a life full of strange moments, I suspect this one will still manage to stand out.
Wow, that was weird, I say. What was that?
Of course, it's a question posed rhetorically, and not one I intend to further explore, at least not out loud. Instead, I'm just going to let that one simmer for now and see if the pot of crazy keeps bubbling until it boils over. The thing is, it's not like I can't see partway through the fog of what Gloria just said. Some of it made no sense at all, of course. That part about being more than human in particular. Then again, aren't all witches in a way more than a human? My guess is that Gloria was simply reacting to the effect we veil witches have on ghosts. Okay, technically, she wasn't a ghost, but she was still a being from a different dimension visiting the one I'm supernaturally programmed to protect. It stands to reason she'd feel a little rattled being around me. If she didn't, it would be like a cat failing to notice a staring Doberman. Not that she elicited my attack mode, but that dynamic could still have been present on a subconscious level. The other part, though, about visiting realms best avoided. Yeah, that part she pretty much nailed. What the hell? She must be one kick-ass psychic to have picked up on that. Definitely impressive. I do a fake yawn that probably seems totally obvious. I'm a shitty actor.
Well, it's been a long day, I say.
I should probably hit it.
Okay, cool, Anna says. Thanks for coming, Lisette says. Wendy, Bobby, and Jerome all chime in too, although somewhat distractedly. I have no doubt that they'll be talking about me as soon as I leave. Not that I blame them. Who wouldn't be curious? The thing is, I haven't told them about what happened with Grayson, or what happened with Julia, or what I know so far. How can I, when I know next to nothing? Maybe I should tell them. Should I? I just don't know. So I make my exit. I tell myself that I should go up to my apartment and at least try getting some rest. Maybe give in and call Autumn to discuss things with her. But talking isn't going to make any difference, and prowling is what I do when I'm troubled. In the past, I've tracked down demons and vampires that way, and maybe that's exactly what I need right now to blow off some supernatural steam. So I head downstairs and out into the street, just as a light rain starts to fall. I resume my hunt with no idea of where to look, once again prepared to find nothing as I've done each day and night. But this time I barely reach the end of the block before I suddenly stop, drawing in a quick breath at what I see. The air before me ripples like heat waves rising from the road on this cool November night. I close my eyes and then look again, but there's no doubt that it's what I've come to think of as the shimmer, that diaphanous seam between realms. Except there's no way this can be happening. I've searched for days, walked for miles, and repeatedly returned to the places I've encountered it before. Now it waits just outside my building? Too much of a coincidence to be trusted. Definitely. Although part of me wonders if somehow, just somehow, Gloria's psychic observation connected me again to this phenomenon. If that's the case, is it me that makes it happen? No, it can't be. If I could make the shimmer appear, I would have by now. Should I ignore it and try again tomorrow? Same answer. Definitely. Only a fool would plunge in when she's this tired and confused. But then there's Julia, isn't there? The person who kept me from becoming a ghost when my body was taken. I can't just ignore what I see and go back home. Not when I've finally found it again. Even if I did, it's not like I'd sleep. I'd be tortured with guilt for my inaction. I reach out, and the air undulates at my touch, that invisible curtain parting, this time allowing light to seep through to where I stand in the dark street. There's no point in testing again or thinking about it more. I already know what I'm going to do. So I brace myself for whatever that realm holds for me next. Then I part the seam once more and step through. Chapter 3. Once again, I stand at the edge of the dead forest, flanked by trees of unearthly colors. A dusting of white covers the ground, and snowflakes swirl down through the air. Like the other times, I'm slightly chilly but not cold, even though I wear just the jeans and sweatshirt I threw on to play cards with my friends. I'd guess it to be 60 degrees, in the mid-50s at the least, which makes no sense, I realize, as does the fact that it was night in the place I just left, but it's barely twilight here. But what about this makes sense? Nothing, obviously. I make my way to the tree line and stare out across the vast expanse. The city I saw last time at night, with its spires and lights glittering like icy jewels, now rises like an island in a dead white sea. I try to gauge the distance between where I stand and that skyline. It seems impossibly far, a world away. But in reality, it might just be a few miles, the distance exaggerated by fear and the desolation surrounding me. Is Julia somewhere over there? My thudding heart says yes, she's there. As is Ellie, having been dragged back by those men pursuing her. Once again, I wonder what it was that first brought me here. Was it because Autumn and I already knew what was going on? We'd read about those kids whose parents claimed they'd been replaced, who said their real children had been somehow taken. On some subconscious level had the Veil Witch in me already started exploring her options to help? But if that's the case, why not Autumn too? There's something more, though, isn't there? It's not like I've forgotten what Grayson said. Those words that keep echoing through my mind, their meaning remaining maddeningly elusive. We're talking about something much larger than you can imagine. You're part of it. Make no mistake about that. I check the violet-tinged sky to find it empty except for a few stray clouds. A speckle of dim stars is just starting to show. I start walking, slowly at first, looking around to be sure. No, I'm definitely alone, and there's nothing in the sky. No planes, no helicopters, and definitely no dragons. Besides, I tell myself, if there really was a dragon, it's not like it would be here waiting for me again. Right? I mean, dragons must have better things to do. I gradually increase my pace to where I'm jogging, and then running. I keep thinking the same thing over and over, that I just need to get to the city. Maybe I'll find some clues or someone who can help. A desperate plan, one that's completely unrealistic. But maybe, at the very least, I can discover some way of coming and going that doesn't leave me each time in the middle of nowhere. The city grows more visible by the minute, despite the waning light. The buildings take on definition, some sleek mirrors reflecting the sky.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?